You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
It's Livin' the Bream with host of Fox News at Night, Shannon Bream.
Right, this week on Livin' the Bream, it is such an honor and treat to talk to this couple we're going to introduce you to. You may know them for a lot of different reasons. Tony Dungy is a Super Bowl winning former NFL coach. You see him all over the airwaves. His wife, Lauren, is an early childhood educational specialist. She's a best-selling author, a sought-after speaker. They have raised an amazing family of children together, been married for decades. We could take advice from them on so many different issues, but we're here to talk about their brand new book on this week's Livin' the Bream. It's called Uncommon Influence, Saying Yes to a Purposeful Life. Welcome, Dungies.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
And, you know, so much of what you guys start in writing about, and people, if they know anything about you in this book, they'll know you have generously opened your home over the years to foster children, to kids in need. And you started this early on in your marriage. I think it's so brave when I read about that you guys heard this sermon. You're like, yeah, we want to get involved with that. But it all goes back to this idea of saying yes when God presents opportunities in your life. What do you want people to get from this book?
When God speaks to you and God asks you to do something, we have to be obedient to his calling. And sometimes it's not comfortable. Often it's not convenient. But if we have a relationship with the Lord and we want to serve him and serve him well, then we have to say yes and move forward. And God knows he has the best plan for us. We may not know at the time why he's asking us to do something, but we've never been disappointed when we followed God's calling and prompting in our lives.
And the Lord can speak to you in a lot of different ways. Obviously, he talks through his word in the Bible, but he talks with people. He talks to you with circumstances. And as you mentioned, we were a young couple. We're sitting there at a church service, and they had someone come in and talk about the need for foster care in Pittsburgh in Allegheny County, where we lived. And it was just like God was speaking to us. Hey, there's a need. We need to do something. Let's sign up. And we did. And that was the beginning of a wonderful journey.
Oh, yeah. Decades and decades of welcoming people into your home in all kinds of different circumstances. And sometimes we think it's got to be something really big, like taking on a human that needs some help and some love and attention and guidance. But I feel like it's important for people to remember, too, there are small promptings and things that throughout our day, it's easy for us to ignore if we're not open, if we're not looking, if we're not listening, you know, even just looking and seeing somebody who needs help with their groceries or just a compliment, somebody who's struggling. So talk about that it doesn't have to be the grand gestures. It can be everyday life too.
Well, there are many opportunities to get involved and to influence and support other people, especially those in need. And we have to be on the lookout or it will pass us by. And we recognized early on that God had that calling for us to do, to not just live the day to day and worry about ourselves and how we could progress and how we could succeed in life, but we were to look out to serve other people. And that was a greater calling. And that's what he wanted us to be like Jesus, to model our lives after Christ. And so that, again, requires sacrifice and it can be an inconvenience, but there are opportunities all around you. And serving God, it can take place in your own home. It can take place in your neighborhood, your community, your workplace. But there are many opportunities and they'll pass us by if we aren't looking for them. But if we've made that conscious decision, I'm going to serve God at all costs, he'll give us those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And Shannon, as you say, it can be a very little thing sometimes. There's a dollar store close to our house, and our kids love to go. Lauren took one
of
our...
I do, too. I love the dollar store. My husband's like, I'll see you in 2 hours.
Yeah. But it's no longer a dollar store.
Yeah. No, it's not really
$1.25.
But Lauren was there the other day with one of our younger kids, and they were buying some things, and there was a gentleman in front of them, And he was obviously, you know, struggling. And Joelle told Lauren, we ought to buy, he was buying a Coke. We ought to buy that for him. Aww. And he just volunteered to give up one of his dollars to help this young man. But he had seen Lauren do that. And it was just a small thing, but it went a long ways.
It really does. And just, you know, faithfulness in small things, I think God trains us in that. Mm-hmm. And maybe one day will ask us to step up into big things too. Right. But we can just start where we are and whatever our circumstances are. We're talking to Lauren and Tony Dungy, the name of their new book, Uncommon Influence, Saying Yes to a Purposeful Life. And as I was reading through, one of the things that you guys talk about is preparation. And Tony, you talk about, I love this story with Peyton Manning. And when you guys were preparing for the Super Bowl and it had never rained. And this guy, Peyton Manning was, of course, people can understand, a success as he was, like, he was a hardworking, super prepared guy, and he was convinced you guys may have to deal with rain. So tell us about that story and kind of this idea of preparing to love, to learn, and to lead.
Incredible. As you said, his work ethic is just off the charts, and he always prepared in everything that he did. But for the Super Bowl, you normally have a week between games. The Super Bowl, because of the buildup, you have 2 weeks. So we're practicing in Indianapolis before we headed down to Miami. Peyton has stayed up night after night watching tape of the Chicago Bears, watching all their games, making notes, diagramming plays, doing everything. And so he's just ready to go. But then he came up to me and he said, you know, on top of all this, I've been looking at the 14-day forecast, and it might rain in Miami. We should practice with wet balls. And I remember saying to him, Peyton, there's been 40 Super Bowls. It's never rained in a Super Bowl. I don't think we need to practice with wet balls. But he's stayed after it, kept on with me. So we did. We practiced a couple of days with wet balls, and sure enough, it rained the whole game. But that was him, just super prepared with everything.
And that we can do that too in our lives. I mean, there is prep work that we need to do to be ready for these potential calls and opportunities.
And absolutely. And that happens all the time. And I think we have to really be intentional about it. There are opportunities to prepare and have some order in your life, or you can go about it haphazardly. But we strongly recommend that there is some preparation, planning involved, and talking with God and just having Him order our steps each day.
We'll have more Living the Bream in a moment.
The Vietnam War. It's over. You're John Chespagon.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer. Streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
I got to ask you guys, given that story, what does it feel like to win a Super Bowl?
Well, I can tell you this, Shannon. That night, Lauren and I never went to sleep. It was crazy. The game starts later and the celebrations are late. And, you know, you've got a whole post-game show and then the ride back. And then the team has a party. And we had to get up the next morning to fly back to Indianapolis for the parade. So it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. We had to get up at 6. So we said, there's no sense going to sleep. And we stayed up all night just talking about it, talking about the season, talking about the years before, and just celebrating. It was a wonderful feeling that you never really want to come down from. Then we got back to Indianapolis, and you know, they said they were going to have a parade for us, and I think it was 5 degrees out. And we said, well, there won't be many people. Downtown was packed. There were people everywhere, and it was just like, we're going to ignore the elements. We're going to celebrate. It was it was an awesome weekend.
I think that was probably one of the most exciting things about winning the Super Bowl. We had so many people that joined in the celebration. It wasn't just a personal thing with our family. We won. The whole city embraced the winning of the Super Bowl. It was exciting. And a cute little story about that. When we got back and we jumped on the floats and we went around the city, and we at one point recognized the fact that our son was missing.
Our six-year-old.
Uh-oh. Six-year-old boy. And I said, well, he's out there somewhere. But it was getting a little uneasy as the time went on. And someone pointed on top of the float with all the guys celebrating and cheering and pumping their fists. There was my six-year-old son, Jordan, celebrating along with them. And I said, don't let go, whatever you do.
I love that. And listen, whenever mamas and daddies talk about losing a kid and how traumatic it is and how guilty they felt about losing sight of them, I remind them that Jesus was lost. Mary
That's
and Joseph
right.
yes. lost
That's
him
right.
for days. And they found him and he's right there holding court mm-hmm. in the temple about his father's business. Yes. So if it can happen to Mary and Joseph, it can happen to anybody. But I love that he was in the middle of this whole celebration. So we talk about that story with Peyton and about the preparation you have to do at that level to have something like a Super Bowl victory come into your life. But Lauren, you also write about there comes a point where you got to stop just prepping and you got to start acting.
Yeah, that's correct. You have to at some point understand that some things are out of your control. So you've made a good plan and you feel that it's what God wants you to do. And then it's by faith and trust in him that you execute this plan. Sometimes things happen and you're disappointed, but most of the time, if you've prepared well and you're trusting God and you are just moving ahead, knowing that the plan is in place, normally we don't have big disappointments and challenges. And if mm-hmm. we do have them, we know that God is by our side and he'll help us get through that challenge.
And one thing Lauren always tells me is everything's not going to be perfect. You can't wait right. for it to be perfect to go ahead
It'll
and move
happen.
Forward. You sometimes you just have to go.
Especially with 11 children in the house, you can imagine there's
oh
no
my goodness.
Perfect day.
No. If you can just get everybody moving in the right direction
right.
at the right time, like that in itself is a miracle. But yeah, so your word of encouragement that to people who, whatever the challenges in front of them, maybe they feel called to this, they know that it's part of their purpose and part of their life, but they don't feel ready or they don't feel prepared or they don't feel like they're worthy of stepping up to that moment. Is your message like, you just got to dive in?
Well, you have to do that. And most of the time, people are more qualified for the task than they think that they are. So just go for it and know that you may make some mistakes, but more than likely you'll do well. And there's such a need. Why sit back and wait for that perfect time or that perfect day to do the task? And again, it's just having the confidence that I can do it. I can make a difference. I'm here for a reason. I'm serving. I'm giving it my best. And there's someone who needs my help, who needs my support, and I can help them. I'm not going to be much help if I sit back and wait mm-hmm. for someone else. But
that's so true.
And if you really feel in your heart that God is leading you there, then he's going to be with you. He's going to help you get through it. And there's going to be some roller coaster rides. But in the end, he's going to help you through it.
Yeah, he never promises us that it will be easy.
Right.
No.
But like you said, that he will be with us
yep.
in whatever the trial is, the mountaintop, the valley, he's there. And we can take confidence in that.
Yes.
Again, we're talking to Lauren and Tony Dungy. The new book they have just out, Uncommon Influence, Saying Yes to a Purposeful Life. And not surprising, as a Super Bowl winning coach, Tony, you write in here about teamwork too. And you cited one of the first verses that my mom had me memorize. I say this all the time in Philippians 2, where she talks about let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vainglory, but that we're to esteem others better than ourselves. And you write about this concept of teamwork and how that's a part of all of this and saying yes to.
It really is. I was head coach in Indianapolis for 7 years. We had seven really good teams. Our team that won the Super Bowl was probably number 4 in terms of talent. But it was the team that was the most together, the most unified, and guys stuck together through thick and thin. And that's how you win championships. That's how you do anything meaningful in life. Building that good team, whether it's a family, whether it's a business, a sports team, it's getting that unity that really separates you.
You guys also talk about personal boundaries, and that's always one of those things that we kind of a lot of folks wonder, what exactly does that mean? Is it in relationships? Is it with my time? How do you do that so that you are available for the things that you do need to say yes to?
I've learned a very, very good lesson in sports and life from my first coach with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Chuck Knoll. I got there in the middle of their Super Bowl run, and in the first meeting, He says to us, don't make football your whole life. Football is fun. It's a part of it. We're going to grow. We're going to work hard. But don't make football your whole life. You have to have some other things that have more of a priority. And that is so true. And I think that can be with anything. You can't make your kids your whole life. You can't make your job your whole life. You can't make your passion for recreation your whole life. You've got to compartmentalize. You got to put God first and then build everything underneath that. And so learning those lessons and learning when to say no, that was hard for me. Learning that you have to say no to some things to keep the right things in priority.
Yeah, there's a book I read years ago that talked about that you do have to say no to the things that shouldn't be a priority so that you can say yes to the good stuff.
Amen.
And the things that should be priorities. And when we're overstretched and we have no margin at all, I know this is, I'm preaching to myself, you know, it leaves us in a place where when something comes along that we really should be involved with, we feel overextended and we're not available to that thing, especially if it's something we feel God is calling us to. That can be really tricky.
And in the book, we talk about rest, too. That's a part of it. Yes, you want to go, go, go. You want to serve your kids. You want to serve your community. You want to do a good job at work. But part of being on top of things is rest. I know that as a football coach, you could practice every day and never give the guys a day off and think you're going to be better, but you're not. You have to let people rest.
I love a good nap. I think that's, yeah, listen, the seventh day God rested, right?
Amen.
I mean,
yes,
I've been reading a lot about the concept of the Sabbath. And, you know, you guys, as you said, you write about that too. And it's important because sometimes I think, especially in Western culture, we are so driven and we feel like, you know, it's almost bragging rights to say, like, I only need 4 hours of sleep a night and I work 100 hours a week. But it's really not the best thing for us at the end of the day. And as I said, harms our availability to step up when things are really needed. Chapter 7, I got to read this, Lauren. It's about pick your battles, choose steadiness. You start writing this and you say, it's a little ironic that I'm the one writing the chapter on steadiness because between Tony and me, he's the far steadier person. I would absolutely say that about my husband, Sheldon, as well. So tell us about this concept and why you chose to write about it.
I think it's important to recognize the fact that you have to have order and peace in your life. Oftentimes, we're impatient and we want things to happen right away. And when they don't happen, we get anxious and the whole household is up in arms and disturbed by your actions. So if you're peaceful about it and steady and you have a good plan and you execute that plan, you'll have better results. And I've learned the hard way early on in our marriage. I wanted perfection. I thought that was a good goal to have, to be perfect in everything that you do. And that I passed that on to my kids, and I wanted them to be perfect in school. I wanted them to do well. I wanted them to do well in their sports. Everything was excellence. If they fell short, then it was a reflection on me. But then I learned along the line that it's not important to be the best at everything. You try hard, you give it your best, but you don't have to have perfection. There is no perfect way to manage a household or to do your job. So you need to be steady and consistent with your walk and with whatever you're doing. And that's a better way to run things than to strive for perfection. That's just running after something that you'll never have.
That's true. This side of heaven, that's only going to exhaust us. We're not going to make it there.
Exactly.
Well, congratulations on the new book, Lauren and Tony Dungy. It's called Uncommon Influence, Saying Yes to a Purposeful Life. It is just out. It's full of funny stories, you know, emotional stories, and so much good practical advice. I thank you guys for writing this and for stopping in with us on Living the Bream.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us, Sam.
God bless you guys.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.